listening to The Travel Writers Show.
We're talking today about the cruise industry and in particular the Norwegian line Hurtigruten, best known for its journeys along Norway's fjords, its visits to encounter the spectacular Northern Lights. Today, Hurtigruten ventures well beyond northernmost Europe and explores oceans and destinations around the world. Here to tell us about it is Damien Perry, Hurtigruten Managing Director, China and Asia Pacific. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Damien.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's been a tough time for the cruise industry all over the world, with the pandemic putting on hold what has been until now a boom time for the cruise industry. As vaccinations roll out, is there a glimpse of blue sky out there for international cruise operators?
Yes, absolutely. There certainly is. It has been a very, very tough year. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, to be honest. We've had some very optimistic times and we've had some times where it's been pretty dull and low in the fact that we weren't quite sure what was around the corner. But right now, we've got quite an optimistic view on what's happening into the future. Safe start, safe operations from 2022, and client confidence heading into 2022 shows that basically we will be able to rebound quite quickly. There's a lot of demand for our travellers to head overseas in 2022, and there's probably going to be a level of normalcy by 2023.
What plans does Hurtigruten have for the restart? What measures are being taken to restore passenger confidence?
There's numerous things we've been doing. The one thing that has happened with Hurtigruten, which gives us a bit of an advantage, is that we've actually been operating throughout the pandemic on the coast of Norway. We've had as few as two ships, up to five ships, cruising on the coast at any one time, which means that we've been able to put in safe protocols, including rapid testing, creating isolation areas, increasing our medical staff, bringing in third-party expertise to put in operational procedures that will make it as safe as possible to cruise. And we've been doing that throughout this whole period. We can now apply that to a safe start on our expedition fleet as we travel further afield and outside the Norwegian waters. Going through that review process now, it's a really interesting one because we've got a very, very regimented process for our crew for ongoing testing and daily testing when guests are on board. We are looking at the vaccinations relative to the destinations that we travel to and the local legislation. So we're at our final stages of reviewing that, and we're taking in many, many elements from around the world and the vaccine rollouts around the world to make that final decision if we require vaccinations for all guests and crew or a mix of. But I suspect that a lot of our expedition cruising around the world to some of the far remote areas we head to, such as South America and Argentina and areas like that, there's highly likely that vaccinations will be on the table, but we haven't taken every single element in to make a final decision. And we still have a small window, realistically about 3 to 6 months, to really finalise that, to make sure it's really clear of what our guests will require before joining us.
Damien, can you tell us something about the new custom-built expedition ships being operated by the company? What makes them so special?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot in the new ships. They are very special. I mean, they're one of a kind. We have MS Roald Amundsen and MS Fridtjof Nansen. What's incredibly unique about them is they're the first expedition ships of their type to have such a strong focus on sustainability. And that has many layers to it. One is, you know, the design of the ship, the design of the hull, which makes it more efficient. But one of the most incredible things is the battery-powered hybrid technology that's on board. So the goal here is to lower our emissions dramatically by using battery power. And the best way to explain how this works, you need to think of a Toyota Prius, where your engine is motoring along, charging the batteries, and then your batteries are then kicking in to peak shave, it's called, when your ship needs more power or in rough conditions. You can actually kick your batteries in and move along in a very safe and steady way, but at a lower emission. And then when you're in ports and when you're also in harbours, you can actually sail on battery alone. So the experience is very different. And not only is experience different, the the focus on lowering emissions and innovative fuel is market leading, if you want to use that word. It's just that it's such an advance in where we're going. In addition to that, the ship itself is designed from top to bottom to consider all elements of being a more sustainable ship. So we use things like heat recovery. So all the heat that comes off the engines, we have a piping system which actually warms the water that's used in the pools and the spas and the showers and the hot water on board. So we're actually trying to recycle as much of the power on board as possible, again, to reduce the power and reduce the emissions that come from those ships. So they're exceptional in their design when it comes to engineering. But when you look at the other elements of the ship, we actually have invested more real estate than we've ever seen before into our science centre. And our science centre is really the heart of the ship. It's in the area on deck 5, which actually sits next to our expedition team. We have onboard scientists, researchers, we have science tables, and it means that guests get involved in our citizen science programs, and they actually come on board, become engaged in some of these really interesting activities that we're doing and the research that's being conducted in a really incredibly beautiful environment. And it's a great place to have knowledge and sharing of learnings. And hopefully people walk away with a greater knowledge of the issues that face us when it comes to the environment and sustainability.
Yeah.
So this part of the ship is amazing. And then you can layer that up with restaurants and beautiful cabins and Scandic design and all that wonderful stuff. But these ships have got a footprint like no other when it comes to a focus on sustainability. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, most important today, because I think that's obviously what travellers are looking for, more sustainable holidays and looking after the environment.
I believe so. And there's a real focus on this innovation. There's a real interest because there's a lot of curious travellers out there now who, when they go to some of these destinations, they're not going just to have a cruise. There's other alternatives if you just want to go and have a cruise, which is more of a hotel or resort experience. When they're choosing expedition and when they're choosing Hurtigruten, they're going because they want to learn and they want to engage and they want to be part of the experience. And I can tell you from experience, we were down in Antarctica before the season closed and we were doing some research on phytoplankton. And there was an announcement over the ship and said, well, one of the tender boats is going out to take some samples from the ocean on phytoplankton. If you'd like to join, make your way down to the mudroom. And we think, maybe 3 or 4 people will turn up. 50 people turn up. So we had to take a couple of boats out because, people want to be involved. They want to be engaged and they bring it back to the science center and they review it with the researchers of what's happening here. So it's really interesting change in how travelers behave these days.
Sure. Turning to Australia and New Zealand, is there still strong demand in Australia for international cruising?
Yes, there is. I think what you're finding right now is that the nervousness around bookings and planning ahead has very little now to do with COVID or vaccines. It has more to do with border closures and the quick decision-making of governments closing borders, restricting travel and putting people in awkward situations with their plans. So some people are somewhat conservative in their booking process, but at the same time, the Australian market now is really focused on 2022. So we are getting some bookings into late 2021, people hoping that the vaccine rollout would be completed in a reasonable time and can travel. But the majority of our business and the majority of the new customers are coming on for 2022 and even booking into 2023 quite happily.
Yeah. And of course, in 2023, you've got your flagship voyage through the Northwest Passage, which promises to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Can you tell us something about that trip and the ship that will sail it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really interesting too, because the Northwest Passage itself, when you think about the numbers of people that travel to different parts of the world, the Northwest Passage is one of the most remote cruises you can do. So very, very few people can actually make that journey each year. So MS Roald Amundsen, our new hybrid-powered ship, will actually sail the Northwest Passage. And we're talking about 2023 because 2022 is basically sold out. You can't get on board at the moment in 2022. So the 2023 sailing will be with Amundsen, which is going to be spectacular. We have our specialised expedition team on board, so the local knowledge will be very, very high. And in addition to that, we've got lots of cultural elements and local communities we mix with on that journey. It's really interesting too, because Northwest Passage is one of those bucket list items that people queue for. They may have done Antarctica before, they may have sailed South America, they may have sailed the Arctic, but Northwest Passage is that bucket list destination, and that's what we're finding at the moment when it comes to travellers. Their interest is on bucket list destinations over everything else.
You're still offering your Norwegian coastal cruises. Where do they go and what are some of the highlights?
The Norwegian coastal cruise itself is an amazing highlight. They start in Bergen, and it's a return voyage via Kirkenes in the very north. Stops at 34 ports on the way. We're just giving them a bit of a revamp as well, so to make sure that the highlights on shore and the experiences on shore with our local partners and our expedition staff is actually the highest possible level. So you head from Bergen in the south, which is a wonderful city in its own right, second largest city in Norway. But then you head up the coast, and Lofoten Islands is a very, very big highlight, such as Kirkenes at the very, very north, right up next to the Russian border. So there's plenty to do. You can either take a very, very relaxing journey on the coastal voyage, and many people do. They sit back, they relax, they enjoy the cultural immersion as they travel along, because on our coastal voyage, one of the most spectacular things is you'll have legs of the voyage between, say, two or three ports, where you'll have locals on board who'll be cruising up and down the coast as well. And you get to meet a really diverse group of people from all over the world sailing with you. So from that aspect, it's a really fantastic journey and very, very different to your normal cruise. And major highlights for anyone who's heading up or considering heading up to Norway is the food. We've got a very, very good ocean-to-plate method that we take local fishermen and the supply of local goods along the coast, which actually sets our menu as we journey up and down the coast. So the food is always fresh. You can get the king crab, deer stew. It's all happening on board. It's a beautiful experience.
Sounds wonderful. And I'm sure there are many people out there who can't wait to hop back on board once safe international travel resumes. Thank you for your time today, Damien. And let's hope, like Rod Stewart, we'll all be sailing again very soon.
Absolutely.